Sportscast, March 31st, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, Facebook. Even though this is a live stream, this also is a podcast. There is also a podcast version. So if you miss this stream, or if you just, you know, stroll through the whole timeline, you can always see it through iTunes or through Stitcher, or also through TuneIn. And if you're on those iTunes directory, especially iTunes, leave a rating and a review and leave a great comment. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Today's sponsor is the Insta Bible app. Create verses and pictures. You can get Insta Bible in the Apple App Store. Justin Herbert, a top-tier quarterback, has been the talk recently where he's going. It's been flipping back and forth. You've been here in Miami. You've been here in Los Angeles. You've been even here in the Raiders. Now, recently, the Green Bay Packers. And a fan and a person who's a fan of the Green Bay Packers, Ty Turner, is here to flesh things out, to control the madness. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How are you doing?
What a crazy couple of days. I don't know if it's clickbait. Are these, you know, obviously we're hearing from Todd McShay, Mel Kiper. What are you been hearing about Justin Herbert this past week?
So your first kind of thing you asked was, is it clickbait? And I am going to say emphatically, yes. It's clearly silly season, and it's even sillier season because there's nothing going on. So the sports writers, they need to generate something. They need to generate interest, conversation. So because it's just like stuff are too over the place. I think, did you post something today that said Chase Young stock is dropping? I mean, come on. It's getting stupid. It's getting dumb. It's getting ridiculous. And they're making up narratives because, you know what? They have nothing else to talk about. But I'm going to try to be as I try to see things as objectively as I can. I try to listen to those who normally have the best intel, that normally have the best information, that I've followed for whatever long I've followed the draft to see who is the most consistent with being right. Because, I mean, if you listen to media right now, Herbert possibly could go first, but there was one mock that didn't even have him going in the first round. There was Colin Cowherd who said he thinks he's going to be the fourth quarterback, and he's going to slide so low that there's an opportunity for the Packers to draft him.
Which they're at number 30.
Then you have other people like, they're saying that he's going to, you know, go before two. And then some people are like, Love's going to, I don't know. It's all over the place. So I'm just going to try to narrow down as good a sourcing as it sounds like. Matt Miller, I think, is pretty good. He has the Stick to Football podcast, not Move the Sticks. That's Daniel Jeremiah and Bookie Brooks. But Stick to Football is Matt Miller. I think it's Josh Edwards. I forgot the other guy's name. Miller did say, and at Miller's information, he normally does have some sources. So he said that he heard from multiple execs that Herbert is rising above Tua. And the reason why, and we obviously have been babbling about this question for 2 years, and as productive as Tua was, as many games as Tua won, Tua does have injury concerns. He was injured even his freshman year. He was injured for a couple of spring balls. He got injured his sophomore year. He got injured in the SEC title game, and Jalen Hurts had to save him. And then he got injured again against Tennessee and eventually ended up breaking his hip and being injured versus Mississippi State, ending his college football career. That's just all fact. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries. And for a guy that played behind one of the best offensive lines in college football, I mean, multiple first-round NFL draft picks, guys like Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, who probably is going to be a high-round pick next year, Jonah Williams, a guy who was a first-round draft pick. So he had a great offensive line. He had great receivers, some of the best receivers, maybe the best receiving core in college football. Yeah, when he got hit, he got injured. So I think that is concerning. So could someone like Herbert, who has been, other than his injury sophomore year, been pretty durable? He's bigger than Tua. He has a little more natural talent as far as being, you know, a little faster, more athletic, a little better arm. I could see what Matt Miller is saying being true. Because people could just say, hey, Tua is an undersized guy who has injury problems. The coronavirus is going on. We can't do the proper medical checks. Unfortunately, he's not safe enough to pick. I could see that. That makes sense to me. Now, from a productivity standpoint, Tua is way more productive than Herbert. Tua won more games than Herbert. So I think Tua would normally, everything being equal, because of just being having more better production, being more consistent, and winning more games, would be the higher pick than Herbert. But you put in there all these injuries, and the coronavirus has made things really weird because they were unable to go to a lot of pro days, including Tua Tagovailoa's. They're unable to have their medical personnel have a hands-on physical with Tua Tagovailoa. Yes, that makes sense. So there's one thing that makes
sense. So you're saying that Herbert can move ahead from Tua?
Well, I want to continue this because I'm making a point here. Herbert over Burrow doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Joe Burrow just came off the best college football season maybe ever by a quarterback. Joe Burrow is an Ohio kid. Cincinnati Bengals need a quarterback. Why would they not draft the Ohio kid who just came off of the best college football season maybe ever by a quarterback? It doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they take him? Could they trade back in order to get more picks? I just don't see it. Yeah, you're going to win with a quarterback. Why wouldn't you go with the guy who is a kid from the area, grew up in Ohio, that had one of the greatest calls? It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me. Then the last argument is Jordan Love over Herbert, and Herbert will all of a sudden drop.
Wow.
I'm in the middle on this one. Jordan Love, I have heard out of a couple people's mouths and direct quotes from scouts saying there is something special about his playmaking ability. His sophomore season, he made a bunch of really nice plays. But Jordan Love threw 17 interceptions last year. He didn't play very good against competition that wasn't very good. Mountain West teams like New Mexico State, San Diego State, and Fresno State, he had bad games against them. He also had an off-the-field issue of getting arrested for possession of marijuana. That's never great, especially for a guy that's supposed to be a high-round draft pick. Why is he putting himself in that position? I don't see a guy that had such an inconsistent junior season, despite the possibility of his playmaking ability and some things that he might do better than Herbert. I don't think, especially under the conditions of the coronavirus, where you're not able to see people as much in person, you don't get the in-person interviews, and then obviously you don't get to see them live. You're probably seeing stuff more over cam. I don't see you taking a flyer necessarily on a year like that for a guy who just came off of a very inconsistent season against lesser competition and also had an off-the-field arrest. I just don't see it. Is it make a little? Can I see why some people think he has a little more of an off-platform playmaking when plays break down ability than Herbert? Yes, I do, because I could see it myself on a film. I don't need an expert to tell me. I see where he, you know, when he gets rushed, he has the ability to elude the rush and actually make throws that are good. But I also see a guy that throws makes a lot of bad decisions. And I also see a guy that made a bad decision by getting arrested with a marijuana possession. I see a guy that might have a little bit of problems making good decisions. Well, if I'm going to take a flyer, especially this year, when you're unable to know them quite as well because of the coronavirus, I don't see it. So, backtracking, Herbert over Burrow doesn't make sense. Herbert over Tua because of Tua's injury makes sense. And I think it's doubtful Love goes before Herbert. There you go.
Yeah, and that's something that I was speaking with Alex yesterday in our podcast. It feels like those two could be very interchangeable. Miami could get Herbert, and Los Angeles can get Tua.
Yeah, I think that's the most like of these crazy weird scenarios coming up. The most likely scenario is that all of a sudden, they neither one drafts up. I'm sorry, drafts up. What was that one? Sorry. Trades up. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, things are chalk. And sitting there at number five is the Miami Dolphins. And people are like, why didn't they trade up? And then all of a sudden, the Dolphins say, with the fifth pick, the Miami Dolphins select Justin Herbert. That's possible. That is very possible. And the Dolphins might just say, you know what? Herbert shows inconsistencies on film, but at the end of the day, he's very talented. He's a high character, high IQ guy that doesn't have an injury history. We just feel safer picking him. I mean, you're a Dolphins fan yourself. You said you'd rather have Herbert.
I'd rather have Herbert. He's the safest pick.
Yeah, but if you look at the production, Tua is more productive. I mean, I'm an Oregon fan. I'm a Herbert fan. But I cannot deny that Tua was more productive. Tua was less inconsistent. Tua, I mean, had the better team. He did have the better team, much better team. But he won more games. At the end of the day, I would normally, if I was a GM and my job was on the line, I'd be like, Herbert is just, he does things like take sacks and on third down and takes you out of field goal position. It's not very good football. Like, why does he do that? I'm not going to, but when you look at, well, Tua Tagovailoa, is he healthy? Is he going to be able to play the first year? Is he going to get injured the first time he gets hit? Whereas Herbert, you see these inconsistencies, but you're like, he is talented. He is a high character guy. You know he's going to come. He's going to work. You know he's in a high IQ guy. He's going to pick up the playbook. You know that he's going to do his best to play his best and will be healthy.
He is,
that's the argument. That's the only argument. The other ones are ridiculous. Sorry.
Here is another mock from ESPN. Todd McShay, he has Herbert going to number nine at Jacksonville. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, okay, so to be fair to McShay, McShay did the bet with Kuiper saying Love was going to go above Herbert. He's sticking to his guns with the bet, but I saw him talk today on ESPN, and he's not feeling very good about that. Kuiper feels pretty good about that bet. McShay, you could tell, was not feeling very good. He thinks that this coronavirus has affected Love. I think it's affected Love and Tua. Tua because of his health, and Love because teams really are going to want to ask, why did you throw 17 interceptions your junior year? Why did you get a marijuana arrest? Why these bad decisions? And he's not able to answer them quite good enough. And I think that's when it comes down to it is so McShay's kind of hedging because he has him going to Jacksonville. And is Jacksonville really going to draft Herbert?
They don't need a quarterback.
They don't necessarily. I mean, they have Minshew. They could possibly see. They'd be more likely to draft Love.
Yeah, as a backup, because the Chargers and Miami need a quarterback right now.
Like Ryan. Okay, so people. I've heard enough direct quotes from scouts and from execs that some people really do like Jordan Love's ability to make plays. Like they think it's really special. They think he has the ability. You know, that kind of like backyard Patrick Mahomes. Slash Lamar Jackson without the speed. The ability to like, oh, there's guys rushing from all over, and he just like gets outside, flings the ball 30 yards, first down. And that is kind of a natural ability that some guys have. I know it. I played football. Some guys under chaos have the ability to somehow remain calm despite a bunch of chaos happening around them. It is kind of an innate ability. It is something that is not as much learned as it is natural. And I do see when you look at Jordan Love, he does make some pretty crazy plays like that. Like where it's like, whoa, man, no one picked up the blitz. Whoa, he escaped. Oh, 50 yards down the field. Holy crap. How did he make that play? He does have that ability. But you know who else did? Johnny Manziel. How did he turn out?
Not
because
good.
He had off the season issue, off the field issues. He had decision-making issues. So there, it's a happy medium. You need a guy, because the thing is, Jordan Love got away with that against non-Power 5 players. Will he get away with it against NFL talent? I don't know. That's, and if he's too reckless, he won't. And he'll just be a guy that, oh, well, Jordan Love makes some good plays here and there, but he also averages 25 interceptions a year. And he will be like a Jameis Winston. Who you saw Winston do stuff like that in college. He will be like a Brett Favre, who, of course, Brett Favre's a Hall of Famer. But I can tell you, as a Green Bay Packer fan, by the end of Brett Favre's reign at Green Bay, I was kind of tired of his bad making too many interceptions. It got old. It was like, dude, come on. It's like, sometimes don't be bait play hero ball. Sometimes just make the smart decision. I liked the Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron Rodgers had the ability to make those Patrick Mahomes type off platform plays, but Rodgers made very few mistakes. And that's why I thought made Rodgers in some ways a very special quarterback. And Jordan Love makes a little too many mistakes for a guy that's playing in the Mountain West. Now, if he was playing against the SEC and he was playing at Vanderbilt, it's maybe be like, man, those guys are just way less talented. But he's playing against, does he play with less talent? Yes. But does he play against less talented opposition? He does. Makes too many mistakes. I personally wouldn't take Jordan Love because of that. And the fact that he was foolish enough to get a marijuana, he got dropped, but he initially got a marijuana charge, and he put himself in that situation, shows a guy that might not be a good decision maker. He might just not be making, he just might not be mature enough. And that guy you're going to draft, I think Jordan Love actually drops lower than people are predicting because of the coronavirus, because teams won't get to know him a lot, and because they're going to be like, man, he makes too many mistakes for the quarterback position. I have Jordan Love going to the Jaguars, but I could even see him dropping a little more.
Which we'll discuss your mock-up a little bit later on the show, which was updated yesterday, but we'll get to that soon. Tom McShay also said that the Miami Dolphins should trade up a little bit to guarantee Tua Tagovailoa. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I missed that part. I heard the one part about the interview where he was not so confident on the Herbert Love bet, but I didn't hear that. But he thinks Miami has to trade up.
He has to trade up because he thinks Detroit could, you know, do something. But
he thinks Detroit's going to take Tua?
That's what I've been reading, but
really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. Do Miami, okay, if someone is trading up, like if Miami or San Diego trades up, so Miami to third, San Diego to fourth, the thing is, Miami should, under zero circumstances, should Miami be out-leveraged by another team to draft the quarterback they want. Miami has 14 first-round picks. They have more draft capital than any other team this draft cycle. They have 3 first-round picks. So no team should be able to move in front of Miami to get the quarterback they want. So if Miami doesn't move from 5, they either let San Diego or they let Jacksonville or Carolina get over them, then that means that Miami really does not give a crap if it's Tua or Herbert. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think
it feels like they could pick either. But
yeah, from my perspective, if someone is trading up, then I think they're trading up to get Tua. Think Tua, because of his production, if he can check out good enough medically, I think teams would consider him above Herbert.
Also, there was news yesterday that the Las Vegas Raiders had a video conference call with Justin Herbert. What does that mean to you?
I heard that the Raiders kind of do that every year. Gruden likes talking to different quarterbacks. That's what I heard. But that being said, could I see a scenario where the Raiders trade the 12th and 19th pick and move up to 6, move up to 5, and they maybe offer even 12, 19, and David Carr? Yeah, I could see that. I could, and it might even work. Because a team like the Giants, say, hypothetically, they could still land one of the top 4 offensive tackles probably at 12. And then they get Derek Carr, who would be the backup to Jones, and that'd be a tremendous backup. And then they also get the number 19 pick, and they need to get better. Giants aren't very good. So that could be an interest. And then all of a sudden Herbert goes in with Mariota. You got 2 Oregon Ducks with almost identical personalities, just so you know. Mariota and Herbert were very much similar when it came to personality. They're both very quiet. They both are kind of unassuming. They both are not big, like they're not the life of the party kind of guys. And so they're very similar. They both went to Oregon. They know each other. Mariota goes back frequently to Oregon, I know. And so they have a prior relationship, same university, same personality. Yeah, and it's a West Coast team. Herbert, I think, would do best on a West Coast team. So it actually makes sense. It does. It really does.
Definitely something to look at. Just like Tyler says, Raiders like to talk to quarterbacks, or maybe at least John Gruden does. So we'll see how development, what developments will happen in the next couple of weeks. The NFL draft is April 23rd to the 25th. Yesterday, Tyler Turner posted his mock draft number one. Yesterday, which you're going to update this thing weekly, right?
Weekly. Maybe. Is there nothing else to do? Maybe. I might. Just maybe small changes. There's a couple picks that I was, like, battling with. I'm like, I don't know. I don't like this, but I went with it. So, I'll talk through it.
Let's go through your mock draft number one. The first thing I noticed from my end was number four, Giants, picking Mekhi Becton.
Yep.
A lot of people have Andrew Thomas. Let's go over your draft and what changes have you made.
Yep. I'm driving. So can you go after?
Yeah, sure.
Go
through it? First is Bengals gets Joe Burrow. No changes there. Two, Redskins gets Chase Young, which some people are saying Young could drop to number four. But three, Lions, Jeffrey Kudu. He's a center back, which Detroit needs a center back. A cornerback. Giants. This is a big one that I see. Mekhi Becton. Why do you have him going to the Giants?
I think you have four very good tackles. I like Becton, Wirfs, Thomas, and Wills. The reason why I picked Becton to the Giants is because I think, they have one of the better running backs in the NFL Saquon Barkley. And I think the fact that he is a mauler, I think the fact that he is the most physically strong offensive tackle, that in run blocking would be his forte. When you have a good running back, why not get the best run blocking offensive tackle? But that being said, do I feel extremely confident about that pick? No, I don't. It could be Jedrick Wills, it could be Andrew Thomas, or it could be Tristan Wirfs. I actually lean Wirfs second if it's not Becton.
Let's go on through Turner's mock draft number one. He has Miami Dolphins getting Tua Tagovailoa, which he's been saying in the past couple of minutes. San Diego Chargers, Justin Herbert. Carolina Panthers get Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, he's the best. I think he's the best linebacker on the board. And then going back to Tua versus Herbert, that could be reversed.
Oh, yeah.
And they also, one of those could train up. So, that's going to be one. That's the spot where everyone's looking at. Like, is this going to happen?
Next, Arizona Cardinals get Jedrick Wills. He is a offensive lineman. Obviously, Cardinals.
Could be any of the four.
It could be. Those are very interchangeable. Very interchangeable. Yep. Jaguars get Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, that's a little. I have not seen many mocks have a wide receiver in the top 10. I just think the Jaguars, they need weapons, and they believe in Minshew. You got to get them guys that can catch the ball. And I have them taking a flyer on Ruggs. I just do. It's kind of going off of a gut feeling. I just think they go up the speedster there.
Running back from Alabama.
As of today.
Yeah. As of today. It could change next Monday. If Tyler,
for sure.
Because these things update. Then you got Cleveland Browns going Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, one of Tyler's favorites.
Yep, same thing. Top four interchangeable.
Now, what I've noticed, number 11, the Jets and the Raiders. Tyler went with Jerry Jeudy over CeeDee Lamb, also Henry Ruggs over CeeDee Lamb. Tell me about these wide receiver rankings you got here.
Well, because it's not how I actually rank them. I actually think CeeDee Lamb's the best, in my opinion. And from my perspective, because of his ball skills, his ability after the catch, I like CeeDee Lamb best. But I've heard on a couple occasions, and I've seen where it seems like the Jets like Jeudy. So the reason why I take the Jets is because I think they just like Jerry Jeudy. And then that would leave the Raiders with who are looking for a receiver. I know they want to take a receiver high. And I also heard that if they had their preference, it would be a guy that is a bit a more physical guy, a guy who could make those tough contested catches, and that's CeeDee Lamb. So if CeeDee Lamb is there at 12, yeah, I if the Raiders stay pat, then yes, they take him.
Question from the comments. Tyler, do you think Derek Carr is the solution or the like the piece for the Raiders to win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I think Derek Carr was a good quarterback. I think he was his first couple of years, he was very good. I think he struggled with injuries. I also think those injuries have impacted him as an overall player. I think they have. I could see Mariota eventually actually taking over this year. I think Carr's fine, but no, I think injuries and I think he's just regressed a little bit. No, he's not going to lead them to a Super Bowl. And that's why, if they really do believe in Justin Herbert, who I think would be the guy they get. I do. Herbert makes sense because he's a West Coast guy. Even how kind of Gruden likes his, it makes sense. Even Mariota does. Like Mariota and Herbert, that makes sense for a Las Vegas Raiders quarterback room. So, and John Gruden quarterback room for that example. So, no, I don't think Derek Carr is going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, and I don't think he's a long-term answer.
Alex DeBrint brought up if Herbert goes to the Chargers, like the weaponry that he has there compared to Oregon is going to be amazing for him.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers have some good guys. Keenan Allen, they have Hunter Henry is a very good tight end. They have another receiver I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
He has a top one, I forgot.
Yeah, and then they traded Gordon, but I think they're going to draft probably a guy like J.K. Dobbins in the second round. So I think, and then they have a good old line. They brought in a guy like Brian Bulaga. So I think, and they have a good defense. I mean, Joey Bosa. So, anyways, they have a pretty.
Keenan Allen, that was a guy.
Yeah, I said him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wide receiver. They have another wide receiver, too, though, that I can't think of.
Mike Williams, Darius Jennings, Andrew
Mike
Potts.
Mike Williams. Mike Williams. Williams is there.
Good guy. Receiver.
So they have a little bit of everything: good route runners, good tight end, good physical guy like Williams. They have a great defense, a great defensive lineman, Derwin James, one of the better box safeties in the game. So, yeah, it's a good situation. It's good. I mean, I'm not going to just say Herbert. That's a good situation for Tua.
Both quarterbacks will take it.
And here's the thing with and go back to the Dolphins since we're bringing it up. They don't have a good offensive line. They really don't. They like I saw somewhere that they don't really have one starter on their offensive line that is a starter grade. He has a starter grade, so you grade each position, and their starters do not rank in a starter grade. So the Dolphins are going to probably have to draft a couple offensive linemen in like the later first round and in second, third round.
Yeah.
So they have to, and Tua has injury problems, and a quarterback with injury problems and a bad offensive line, that's recipe for disaster.
It is.
So there goes back to the argument to drafting Herbert before him, because if you don't have a good offensive line, you better have a durable quarterback.
Let's go through the through Ty's mock. Denver Broncos, Jordan Jefferson, LSU, Atlanta.
Oh, no. You skip 13.
13. Oh, 49ers get C.J. Henderson. Tampa Bay Buccaneers get Andrew Thomas from Georgia.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to. So yesterday I saw Alex. He thinks Christian Fulton goes 13.
Let me pull this up. I got.
And I didn't. I listened to the beginning of his podcast, and I listened to the end. I actually missed that part. He thinks Fulton's better than Henderson. I don't agree with that.
Well, he'll be at the big show, so you're able to. I mean, if he has that odor still by then,
I don't even think Fulton's not consistent enough. I don't think to even. I've seen some people say that he's not consistent enough to get a first round grade. He might pop into the first round at someone like the Minnesota Vikings because they need a cornerback. But I don't think he's a first round. I think him and Trayvon Diggs are too inconsistent. Whereas a guy like Henderson is maybe the most athletic. I think he's the most athletic corner and probably the second best overall, even from a consistency perspective, next to Jeffrey Okudu. I just wonder why he drafted Fulton over Henderson. I believe he had that. Where does he have Henderson going?
Henderson, let me pull this up. Henderson. Oh, crap. I had it. Henderson goes to Atlanta. Atlanta at number 16. CJ Henderson.
I don't get that. Yeah, I'd like to. And the Big Show. I just don't get that.
Yeah,
get
if he has that order in 3 weeks, because he could, you know, hear this podcast and change it up.
That's true. Okay, all right.
Okay, so Andrew Thomas.
Number four. Oh, yeah. Tell you what, if Andrew Thomas is there at number 14, yeah, you can bank on. That might be the only sure pick of the draft.
That's the safest pick?
If Andrew Thomas is at 14, yeah, the Buccaneers will draft him. To protect Tom Brady? Yeah,
the Tom Brady Buccaneers, they're calling it.
Yep.
Denver Broncos select Jordan Jefferson from LSU. Atlanta Falcons pick Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And everyone's saying Cowboys is going to get Clavon Chaisson. Why do you think that, Tyler?
They need a pass rusher. They could use a secondary guy too, but they need a pass rusher. So I think right there the discussion is Javon Kinlaw. Kavon Chaisson, because Kinlaw's gone.
Complicated.
Kavon Chaisson and Yetur Gross-Matos at Penn State. And I think you take Chaisson there because he has higher upside. He's just a little more athletic.
Miami Dolphins, second pick of the first round. Austin Jackson from USC.
Yeah, hey, Jackson's pretty good. I mean, he's the number five offensive tackle. He's not as good as the first four, but he has some upside. He's a physical, he's an aggressive guy. If he's there with what Dolphins need to do to protect, like if they're drafting Tua, you need someone to protect him. Jackson there is a good pick.
Wow. Number 19, Las Vegas Raiders. Tyler has Jordan Love going to the Raiders. People are saying he's going to the Patriots. This guy is he's the dark horse of this draft. I'm calling it.
Yeah, the reason why I don't think he's going to the Patriots is because the Patriots are kind of really pushing this, like, strong, like, they want to give Stidham a chance.
Yeah, I've heard that strongly.
Yeah, so I just don't. I'm kind of, unless they're being coy, I don't think in the first round. I could see in the third or fourth round, but I think in the first round, I think they sit there with not drafting a quarterback.
They've been comparing him a lot to Lamar Jackson. Have you heard of that?
Comparing who?
Jordan Love.
Who compared to Lamar Jackson?
I heard it somewhere. I can't remember
who
it was.
No. You're thinking Patrick Mahomes, man.
Oh, Mahomes.
They're not comparing it.
Mahomes.
Yeah. They're not comparing him to Lamar Jackson. Because I'm like, Lamar Jackson's like, only what person you can compare to Lamar Jackson's Michael Vick. Yeah. I mean, Lamar Jackson's like maybe Kyler Murray. I can see Kyler Murray. A 4.243 guy. Love is, you know, he's a good athlete, but he's 4.7. I mean, he's not a freak athlete, but he's like Mahomes. Mahomes is not like a freak athlete, but he has an ability to make plays outside of the pocket. It's not about speed. It's about, like, instinct. It's about, you know, twitchiness to get around, agility. Not as much about speed. But anyways.
20, Derek Brown from Auburn. Eagles gets Denzel Mims from Baylor. Minnesota Vikings get Zach Braun from Wisconsin. The New England Patriots get A.J. Espinosa from Iowa. Why do you say that?
He just kind of screams a New England Patriots kind of guy. You know, a highly technical guy, a guy with a great motor, a smart football player. He just, and they could use a defensive lineman. So he just makes sense with the Patriots. I've seen him in other mocks going to the Patriots too, so.
Ty agrees with Alex. Patrick Queen is going to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I kind of struggled at 22. Vikings need, they need corner, and they also need wide receiver, but they also need a linebacker. And I'm like, the reason why I went with Braun was because Braun was a little more productive for a longer period than, so it's Queen, Murray, and Braun. That's the three top linebackers. I went with Braun because he was a little, even though he's not as athletic as Queen and Murray, he was more productive longer. He was more, had more consistent production throughout his career. And a Midwest guy from Wisconsin in the Big Ten that had been very productive, I took him over Queen and Murray. But yeah, Saints would be ecstatic if Queen is there at 24. LSU guy.
Let's go into the late 20s. Minnesota Vikings select Brandon Ayuk from ASU, Arizona State.
Yep.
Dolphins get Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma.
Best available. I just want the best available. I think he's a good player at 26.
The Seahawks get Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State.
Yeah, they're gonna get a pass rusher. I'm pretty sure. So he's the best one available.
Baltimore Ravens get a Bama player, Xavier McKinney.
The best nickel. They need a nickel, so he's the best nickel in the draft.
Tennessee Titans get Ross Blaylock from TCU.
Yeah, you know, I could see myself changing that pick. You know, there's a Justin Malabuke from Texas A&M, the possibility there. There's another guy. Gilmore from Neville Gilmore from Oklahoma. I just think they need a defensive tackle. And Blaylock, I just like a little better than the other two, but it's pretty close.
Your Green Bay Packers get Jalen Reagor from TCU.
Okay, I was like, I changed it. Initially didn't. I had them taking Josh Jones, the offensive tackle from Houston, because I'm like, I didn't like how the, like, I think there's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. But I think there is, from my opinion, there's five who should go in the first round. Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Jordan Jefferson, Denzel Mims. I think all the other ones are more second-round guys. Guys like Jalen Reagor, LaVisca Chenault, K.J. Hamler, T. Higgins. I think they're more second-round guys. So I was sitting there, and I'm like, all the five best wide receivers are all off the board. And then Brandon Ayuk's wide on the edge.
Right.
And if Ayuk was there, I'd take Ayuk. But then I'm like, I don't know if I would draft anyone. So I put Jones, but then I saw Reagor. I think Reagor's maybe just outside. I'm like, they need weapons for Rodgers. You can't risk it. So then I went back. But I could see a scenario where they either draft a tackle like Ezra Cleveland from Boise State or Josh Jones, or even if Austin Jackson from USC falls down there, or they trade back, get 2 second-round picks. And in the second round, they draft LaVisca Chenault and maybe Lynn Bolden, or maybe Cole Kmet, the tight end from Notre Dame, and Lynn Bolden. I don't know. Micah Pittman. I don't know. Like, maybe they split it up, draft, move back to get more of the second-round quality guys, because they're kind of falling at the bottom of the first, and I just think the five or six top receivers, and I just named them all, I think they'll all be gone. I just think there's enough teams that need wide receivers that they'll be gone. So I just think it's kind of a weird position for the Packers.
San Francisco 49ers, Tyler says Jalen Johnson from Utah.
Yeah, it's I think they're going to go at a corner, it sounds like. I think it's between Jalen Johnson, Christian Fulton from LSU, or AJ Terrell from Clemson. I personally just think I like Johnson. I think he's just a very physical guy. He's super long, so I pick Johnson there.
And finally, number 32, Kansas City Chiefs goes with DeAndre Swift from Georgia.
I'm not changing that pick.
You're not?
I don't even ask. Nope. I've been going with that forever. I just think that they need a running back. DeAndre Swift is a great running back. He's a great pass catcher.
I like him.
You know, he's a versatile guy, and he's the first running back I'm convinced that's going to go. He's the only one I drafted in the first round. He's sitting there at number 32. Chiefs like, let's take him.
So, yeah, what I see.
I will not trade that pick. I will not change that pick.
Yeah, what I like about your mock that, you know, you've seen the Dolphins selecting a quarterback, and then they go on defense afterwards. So
yeah, so tackle. Well, I go tackle, offensive tackle, and then defense. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, that's really smart. Now, what are your thoughts about modifying for the next week? What teams and what players do you think is going to change in your next draft number two?
Like, where could I see myself changing? I'm really starting to think the Vikings are going to draft a DB in the first round. And I actually didn't even mention him for 49ers, but Trayvon Diggs, former brother of Viking Stephon Diggs, is a possibility there. I could see even Christian Fulton being a possibility there. So maybe look at the Vikings with maybe their 25th pick. I'm not married to the idea of Jordan Love to Jacksonville, so I'm going to think about that. The thing is, I don't personally want to do any trades. Like, in my head, I see trades happening. I actually see the Colts trading from the 34th pick into the first round to get Jordan Love. If Jordan Love starts to drop, I actually could see the Colts trading up to the Miami Dolphins spot. That's right, your Dolphins, and taking the Dolphins' next couple picks to get Love. So there's some things I see, but I'm not going to do trades. So it's kind of handicapping me. Like, Love, I just think goes in the first round. I don't think he falls out of the first round. But I actually, if you were to ask me today, where do you actually think Jordan Love goes? I think he goes to Indianapolis. I think he goes to Indianapolis, and I think he lands there at number 26, and I think the trade is between Indianapolis and Miami. So that's what I actually believe.
With a deep bench of Phil Rivers and Jacoby Brissett, Indianapolis.
I could totally see Brissett being out of Dodge. I think he leaves. I don't think he ends up staying with the Colts.
But
we'll see.
Any closing words of the NFL draft mock?
Yeah, people remain sane. There's a lot of noise out there. We're three weeks away from the mock. Just like stay calm. And I guess when it comes to, because we started this off, I think Justin Herbert is the guy that I think actually benefited. I think some things went in his way. He had a good end to his career at Oregon. He won the Pac-12 title in the Rose Bowl. He was MVP of the Senior Bowl, had a great combine workout. And he got to meet with teams before the coronavirus.
Yeah,
and he's a high character guy, 4.1 student, William Campbell Academic Heisman Award winner. Guy that's done a lot for the community. I think his character and the safeness in a time of kind of people are like kind of worried and worrisome. I think safety appears nice. I think that safety has Justin Herbert go in the top, not only in the top 10. And I tell you what, you're talking about where I might change. For some reason, I can see him going to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And I know that everyone thinks that Tua, and because the Dolphins were so sold on Tua, but when they say that there's certain execs who have Herbert higher than Tua, for some reason, I just had a weird feeling that might be the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins might come down to a health decision. It's like, can this guy?
I really do. With that offensive line problems.
Yeah, durability is everything. Random question: what is your favorite crayon color?
All red. I love red, dude. I like my favorite color is red.
Red is winning 50%. Second place, blue at 31%. Green at 12.5%, and brown at 6.3%. Tyler, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to about the NFL mock draft?
At TurnerCast.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Tyler will be revising his mock up in the next couple of days or next week. So we'll definitely be eyeing on that. And of course, we'll have Justin Riley this Thursday talk about the Alabama players in the NFL draft, how they're looking, how they're spicing up. And of course, we're having the big show. We're having Alex on again. And we'll have Tyler, we have Justin, and we'll definitely see what they got in their final predictions of the NFL draft. Tyler, always a pleasure.
All right, sounds good, bro.